I was in Logan Heights a few months ago filming something, and there were about four cars, cameramen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and we needed to go to El Cajon. So, from Logan Heights. So, for some reason, we got in our cars, and I was not leading the group because these were people from out of town, and the guy who was leading the group put in the GPS of the address we were going to, and instead of going 5 to 8, he went through the neighborhoods all the way. Are you feeling my pain here? And I'm like, why are we going through? And, you know, it's not that the neighborhoods are bad. It's like light after light after light. Just get on the freeway, go 1, 2, 3, boom, boom, boom. And so we get there. I was like, what? Why did we do that? And he goes, well, I put GPS most direct route. Well, it's like most direct route from here to the stadium is right through those condos across the street. So sometimes when we want to go from point A to point B, we always have to specify how we want to get there. As we're continuing our series called Road Trip, seed word road, seed word trip, we're following the journey of the Israelites from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab. I was at a football game the other day and I was quizzing this teenager girl on this stuff. And she went, Mount Sinai, like that. I was like, good, you got that, Mount Sinai. Sinus is Mount Sinai, that's a little sign we do. But anyway, we're tracking the Israelites' journey from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab, okay? And we're trying to learn principles that God is going to teach us through his word about how the Israelites did things right and how they did things wrong. How those principles can apply to our life on our spiritual journey, from spiritual bondage to spiritual freedom, complete freedom. We are all on that journey. Even though you may have Christ as your Savior, there's still areas of your life you're still fighting for more and more freedom. And one of the issues you have to understand is you want to follow the leader. But the leader needs to be a spiritual leader. There's a difference between a natural leader and a spiritual leader. A natural leader is going to take a different path than a spiritual leader. And you may think you're growing in the Lord, and you may think you're going from spiritual bondage to spiritual freedom, but you may be following the wrong advice. Now, just because you come to church here doesn't mean you're following my advice. You may come to church here, take what you like, don't take what you like, and go talk to somebody else and do your own thing. In the end, we got to follow Christ. But if you think I'm going to do it my way, you may be taking the natural route, which is going to take you a long time. Matter of fact, you'll never get there. You have to follow the spiritual way. Now, in your notes, I have a distinction between a spiritual leader and a natural leader. Very interesting distinctions. Now, before we read this list, I want you to think about your life. Every single one of you has someone you're following and someone following you. You don't have to be an owner of a company, a manager, or whatever. You are influencing other people. That's leadership. And you are being influenced by other people. And so some of the people that you're being influenced by, you have to ask yourself, are they natural leaders or spiritual leaders? If they're natural leaders, they're going to take you on a whole different path than a spiritual leader. And if you are a natural leader leading other people, you're going to take them on the wrong path. So I want you to be thinking about, and in the least, you lead yourself. In the least. But all of us, we have a manager, we have kids we coach, we're a teacher, we're a boss, we're an employee, so we have a manager. Somehow you're in this situation with somebody, and somehow you are leading, and somehow you are following. So my encouragement today to you, as we look at the distinction between a natural leader and a spiritual leader, that you realize, you know what, I need to be more of a spiritual leader. And I need to find spiritual leaders in my life, because the people leading me are natural leaders. And that's going to lead me down a road of destruction, as we're going to see in this story. Let's look in the notes. This distinction between the two. One, a natural leader is someone who wants to be independent. I do my thing. A spiritual leader is God dependent. A natural leader is self-confident. He's confident in his own strength. A spiritual leader is confident in God. A natural leader claims to know man and knows how to influence man. A natural leader is known by God. It knows men and God. He understands people and he understands God. A natural leader makes his own decisions. A spiritual leader seeks God's will. A natural leader is motivated by self-gain. A spiritual leader is motivated by love for God and man. A natural leader originates his own methods. A spiritual leader follows God's methods. A natural leader enjoys commanding others, and a spiritual leader delights in obeying God. Now, the natural leader, in summary, it's all about me. My ideas, my power, follow me, it's all about me. I get all the credit, it's all about me. A spiritual leader, it's all about God. Those two are not the same. So the challenge for you as we go through this, we're going to look at Moses. Moses is a spiritual leader. He's going to be confronted by a guy named Korah, who is a natural leader. Say Korah. You never want to be a Korah. And you want to identify the Korahs in your life and get them out of your life and don't follow them because they will lead you to death, as we're going to see. And so hopefully this is going to open up your eyes, because a lot of times you find yourself in bad situations and you don't know why. And it may be not necessarily your fault originally. It may be that you're following the wrong people and you're getting bad advice, bad counsel. So let's read. Before I read, let me give you a little more background. Now, Moses and Aaron were the leaders. All the sons of Aaron, everyone say Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. That means Moses was Aaron's brother. All the sons of Aaron were the priests. They would conduct the religious services for the Israelite community in the tabernacle. All the Levites, all the descendants of Levi, their job was to take care of the tabernacle. We'll say, for lack of a better term, the custodians of the tabernacle. Korah was one of those guys. Matter of fact, his family took care of the most holy things. They didn't do religious service, but they carried them, set it up in the tabernacle. Korah is going to gather a group of guys to confront Moses and challenge Moses' leadership. And Korah's going to say, we don't think we should be limited to being custodians, in so many words. We want to do your job because we think we're just as holy as you, and other people can do your job. Okay? So it's a little gossip, intrigue, criticism, backbiting, politics, backstabbing, stuff we're all used to. Amen? We've led these kind of mutinies. We've followed the, what are they thinking? Who do they think they are? We've been in those kind of conversations, gossip and backbiting. Let me encourage you, it is from the pit of hell and it is never justified. So anytime you find yourself in a situation, say, I don't know what's going on, but I'm out of here. Because you're going to see in a minute, it ain't a place you want to be. Five things we're going to look at. Number one, Korah. Everyone say Korah. Puffs himself up before man. Puffs himself up before man. But Moses casts himself down before God. Ooh, can I get an amen in the house? Do we all know people who puff themselves up before man? Look at how good I am. You need to follow me. I got something. I need to tell y'all something. And they start gathering people for the argument. Don't be part of that discussion. Don't lead that discussion. We'll see in a few minutes. Moses, on the other hand, he bows himself before the Lord. He ain't trying to impress anybody. Look at verse 1 of chapter 16. Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. Now, let me summarize that. Just Korah and some of his boys, okay? Don't worry about all the other names. Korah and his boys. Verse 2. They rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. So Korah got all, not all, he got 250 leaders of the 2 million people. And got them together. And they're going to challenge Moses. Look what it says in verse 3. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Aaron was Moses' brother. And said, you guys take too much upon yourselves. For all the congregation is holy. Every one of them. And the Lord is among them also. Not only you. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? Woo. Moses, who do you think you are? You're not the only guy that can preach. You're not the only guy that can do religious service. You're not the only guy that can talk to God. You're not the only guy that can make decisions. There's other people out here just as holy as you. Now, you have to understand, Moses and Aaron, two guys, Aaron's sons are the priests. No one else can be priest. This is all decided by God, by the way. 2 million people. And these 250 people necessarily represent them. They're the leaders. They come to Moses. And Moses is like, oh, y'all jam. They're jamming him up. Basically, like, we're going to jam you up and challenge your leadership. Challenge your position. Challenge your authority. Challenge your right to do what you want to do. What does Moses do? He goes postal. He gets a shotgun. That would be a natural leader. Before I read what Moses did, what would you do? Who y'all think y'all are? God put me here. Y'all need to get back up. We're gonna... Amen? See? Evil. Wicked. Sinners. Look at what verse 4 says. Moses heard it. He fell on his face. Hey, if someone confronts you, you don't need to fight them. Take it to the Lord. Get on your face and pray. All right. Let me pray for a minute. Hold on a second. Pray. If look at your notes. A spiritual leader receives leadership from God. He doesn't take it from man. You do not. If you take your leadership from man or manipulate yourself into a position and have man promote you, that means man can take you out. If God promotes you, then only God can take you out. There's no human in this church that can remove me from this position. God does that. Now, we do have a board that technically, legally, they can, but they follow God. We all are in agreement. Now, if I sin, God will take me out. And believe me, it'll happen like that. And we'll all be in agreement. But it's a God thing. You want your promotion at work to be a God thing. You want your raise to be a God thing. You don't have to work in ministry to have this apply to you. You think about your job. You think about your career. You think about wherever you are. We're all pecking for something. On a team, in a job, in a relationship. Maybe this one girl's trying to pick between two dudes. So you start wearing your shirts from fifth grade and fourth grade and you know, trying to look all yoked out. You ain't got no yokes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And you're trying to, he's like, wait. I belong to God. So how do I turn this over to God? Turn over the burden to God. It's a burden trying to please man. Trying to manipulate and all. Oh, let it go. Realize that a natural person is always trying to manipulate people and a spiritual person just receives from God. Number two. Korah calls men to follow himself, but Moses calls men to follow God. This right here, what I'm getting ready to read, is hilarious to me. This is so wise and good on Moses' part. Look what Moses does. Verse 4, they jam him up. Verse 4, he falls on his face. Verse 5, here's what he 5 to 8. And he spoke to Korah and said to all his company, tomorrow. Here's what he does, Korah. Moses, who do you think you are? We can do what you're doing. Blah, blah, blah. He goes, dear Lord, he says, Moses, he says, Korah, here's what we're going to do. Read your Bible. Verse 5. If I'm wrong, I'm just making it up. He says, here's what we're going to do. He don't argue with him. He don't argue with him. He goes, tomorrow morning, the Lord will show us who is his and who is holy and will cause him to come near to him. That the one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, Korah, tomorrow. You and all your peoples, take a censer, put fire in them, and put incense in them before the Lord. Tomorrow, and it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You're taking too much on yourselves. You're basically going way over your head in this one. You are dabbling in something way over your pay grade. That's what he said. This is way over your head. You didn't have this class in school. You don't know what you're doing. So here's what we're going to do. You guys think okay, tomorrow we're going to go to God. He didn't argue with him. He don't got nothing to argue about. We're going to let God decide. You remember being a kid? Y'all remember being a kid?
Yes.
Okay. You remember being a kid? How many of y'all had a sibling as a kid? Most of y'all, okay? And I'm going to make this up. Your brother or your sister said, that's my ice cream. And you go, oh, let's go to mommy. That's what you need to do. Go to daddy. Forget arguing. Let's go to mommy and daddy. Because daddy said, that's my ice cream. Right, dad? That's what most said, oh, it's like that. Let's go to dad. And God's going to decide. Now, if I'm Cora, I'm sweating bullets. Because God did not tell me to confront him. God did not tell me to gossip. God did not tell me to gather these people. Now it's between Cora and God. If you got a problem at your work, don't try to fight people. Don't go down to that level. You got to take it up to this level. First thing you got to do, if you got a confrontation with somebody, start praying for that person and praying for you. God, what do you want to teach me? What do you want me to learn? Now, I'm going to say something you ain't going to like. It is very possible. I'm not going to say possible. God is all in this situation. Where someone you don't like does something bad to you at your job and in your eyes hurts your chances of promotion or whatever, and your boss believes them, and God's in all that. And you're like, how? I give you a potential. Everyone say potential. Scenario. Is that God says, you know what? I want to move you out of this job because I have a better job for you. But he don't tell you that. So you're doing your thing. You're doing faithful. In your mind, you're doing a great job. In your mind, you're the best person there anyway. So you're doing all this stuff, right? Right? And you're wrong, but this is what you think anyway. And because no one's really the best. I mean, we always think better than ourselves than we really are. So we're doing this job, and this person that is coming late, lies, steal, don't do their job, they're sloppy, and you're maybe a better employee. They lie about you, blame you for stuff they did, take credit for your ideas, get a promotion, and you're like, what's up with that? And you know what God said? I planned it all. You're like, what? Because God said, here's what I wanted to do. One, I want to move you to a better job. And I want to teach you how to pray. And I want to show your boss how a Christian responds to adversity. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get this person that I know you can't stand. I'm going to get this person that we all know is sloppy and negligent. And I'm going to have them tell the boss a lie about it. I'm not going to make them tell, but they're going to tell a lie about it. I'm not going to stop it. And then the boss is going to give them a promotion in your mind. And you might even get fired. And you're like, well, God, how is that good? Well, one, I got you to pray. I got you to show them how a Christian reacts under adversity. And I got you a new job. All with one stone. Three birds with one stone. Now, you may say, I don't want to be part of that love triangle. Amen? It's too bad. It's too bad. You are part of that love triangle. Every single day. Take a step back just for a moment and think of every relationship you have today. That's what's going on in some form or fashion to some degree. Now, I shouldn't say that's going on, but God is using people in your life to shape and mold you into a holy person. God is not concerned with how much money you make, what position, what. He's not concerned what your boss thinks of you. He's concerned with what he thinks of you and what you think of him. He'll take care of your boss because tomorrow your boss can be gone. He can be gone. Tomorrow you may be the boss. And by the way, your boss ain't as stupid as you think. He knows that person's lying. They know. They know that person's sloppy. But you shouldn't worry about that. You worry about what does God know. Because if you start trying to manipulate your boss, you know what you're going to do? Is you're now in your brown-nosing journey. Say amen. You're going to start going, okay, I know my boss gets in here. He's going to be walking by right around a few minutes because he's going to lunch. Let me stand right by the elevator and be on the phone talking about a deal, and how I'm going to be here at 6 o'clock tonight doing the deal so he can hear me. Mm-hmm. We start dishonestly making ourselves look good in front of the boss so he can give us a promotion. That's wrong. You do right by God. Because if God wants you to have your boss's job, you will have your boss's job. And if God doesn't want you to have your boss's job, you can brown nose all you want. You will never get it and be happy. You're never going to get it and be happy. So you do what Moses did. You say, y'all got a problem with me? Let's go to God. I'm taking my problems to God. Now, of course, in your job, you may not be able to sit down with your boss and your employee and pray, but here's what you can do. One, you can pray. You can say, God, here's the situation. What do you want me to do? You can say, I'm bringing everything to the light. Write down John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. John chapter 3, verse what? It basically says those who do evil deeds do it in darkness, but those who are about the light and do righteous deeds, bring them into the light. Bring the truth out. Just bring the truth will set you free. And if in the end you don't get what you want, but you've honored God, you got what God wants. It will. God and God's timing is perfect. Well, you know, it didn't happen right away because God didn't want it to happen right away. So don't worry about it, because if you are so focused on worldly things, you will get distracted by worldly methods. But if you are focused on God and saying, God, I want to be the best Christian. I want to be the best leader. I want to be the best follower. I want to be the best employee, employer, teammate, whatever it is. I want to be the best that you can make me. You don't worry about that stuff. Because by the way, you know, you're going to lose your job someday. You know, in sports, football, the NFL training camp's coming to the end, and basically half the guys are going to get cut. That's just a reality. But eventually, everybody's going to lose their job. I saw Jerry Rice. He signed on one day. Jerry Rice, the greatest receiver ever. Well, he also got cut, and he will retire. Everything's going to come to an end in the end anyway. We're all going to die in the end anyway. So instead of trying to hold on to something that's going to die anyway, we need to hold on to something that's going to be eternal, which is our relationship with God. So number three, Korah. Korah devalues God's assignment and Moses honors it. Korah devalues God's assignment, but Moses honors it. Look at verse 8. Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi. Is it a small thing that God has separated you to be a custodian in the temple, separated you from the congregation to bring you near to himself, to work in the tabernacle and to stand before the congregation to serve them? And that he has brought you near to himself, you and all your brethren, the sons of Levi. And now you are also seeking the priesthood. Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him?" What he's saying is that, Korah, you guys have a great job. No other people of all the Israelites can do what you do. And yet you say it ain't good enough for you. You're telling God he's wrong. You're telling God he's wrong. You're not telling me I'm wrong because I'm not the one who did it. God has assigned every single one of you to something in his kingdom. He's given you spiritual gifts. He's given you natural talents. He's given you your hair, your hips, your lips. I don't like my hips. I don't like my lips. I don't like my hair. I don't like this. God has given you that. He's given you spiritual talents. He's given you a place in the body of Christ. One, do you know what that is? And two, are you consumed with fulfilling your responsibility? If you're not, you absolutely be desiring for something else. The grass will always be greener on the other side if you don't understand how green your own grass is. I want what's over there. Let me tell you something. We get so distracted with what we think we know about other people, what we think we know about their life. I know many people who work for somebody else always assume that the person they work for has an easier job than them. You couldn't be further from the truth. If you've never owned a company, you have no idea what it's like. And don't think that it's vacation. It's harder than what you do. But you don't know that because you don't do it. Instead, you should be consumed with what is God called me to be. If you don't know what God has called you to be, that is your biggest problem. Someone once said, if you want to get rid of a problem, get a bigger problem. The biggest problem you have is finding out what God has called you to do and doing that good. If you're not doing that good, you have no business looking into anybody else's business. Because that's not your business. It is not your business to tell me what to do, and it's not my business to tell you what to do. My business is to tell you what God wants you to do. That's it. And now, you should pray for me that I do what God wants me to do. And if you're doing what God wants you to do, and I'm doing what God wants me to do, and we're doing it to our fullest, we're going to get along great. But when I start wanting to change what you're supposed to do, and you're supposed to want to change what I'm supposed to do, and I'm saying, you know, metaphorically, me, you, whoever in your life, then you have a problem. But if you say, I know what God wants me to do, and I'm doing it, you are going to be the most fulfilled ever. But if you do not, if your life is a ball of confusion, if you're not going there with your education, going nowhere with your career, you are going to be an unhappy person. And you're going to be looking for man to fix your life, people to hook you up, the next little in. You'll never, ever be satisfied living that way. Versus stepping back and saying, God, you lead me. You provide me opportunity. I'm going to honor and glorify you my whole life. No matter what your career is, don't think that God cannot promote you working at Subway. Don't think God can't promote you working at IBM or wherever it is. Don't think God's not involved in that. He is very much involved in that. He is very much in control. Absolutely. And don't think your boss who's lying about you and treating you like trash, don't think God does not feel your pain and hear your prayers. Don't think he can't protect you from that. And what I mean by protect you from that, help you not deal with it. I had a boss once. My fourth year with the Chargers, I played two games, I got cut, and I came back after five games. I had a new boss. He used to curse at me every day. Every single day. Wouldn't say hi to me. He'd curse at me, but he wouldn't say hi to me. He'd walk right up to me. He was walking through the room, and he was walking in the path I was on, and he wouldn't even look at me. And if I didn't get out of the way, he walked into me. Just total disrespect. It was hilarious to me. Why? Because it was so childish. Now, I could have been tripping. Oh, he don't like me. Oh, I said, no. God said, I put him there for now. And when I want to remove him, I remove him. I want to see what you're going to do. Don't brown nose him. I want you to just pray for him. And I want you, do not let it faze you, because he does not control your destiny. And it was so good. I was a second year Christian. It was so good because I took that to heart, and he would blah, 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 yell at me, blah, 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 curse at me, blah, 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 blah. I was like, all right. Blah, blah. I'm telling you gospel truth. I learned such a valuable lesson, such a valuable lesson. God said he's not in control. Now, I got cut anyway. I wanted to leave. I really was ready to leave. He got fired as well. And I don't know why he was there for that few weeks, but I know one of the reasons was just to make me holy. And you know what? It was fine. Because it was day after day, God proved to me that he was bigger than all of that. And I was like, that's right. You cannot faze me. You will not faze me. And he didn't faze me. In your job too. Your boss, pray for him. Pray for him. I promise you, if you start praying for your boss or whoever it is, God will open your eyes in some cases to how lost they are, how unhappy they are. He will give you a love for them and a compassion for them. And you will start to realize that person is not over you. God's over you. That person does not control you. And you'll realize, you know what? I don't need to. All I need to do is be faithful to God and do my. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you need to work hard. You need to be there early. You need to leave late. You need to be the hardest worker. Be organized. You need to be the best you can be. Do not use your Christianity to cut corners. That is the most embarrassing thing to God. And Christians do that, by the way. They're sloppy. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God will take care of it. No. God is going to take care of you. That may be why you got problems. Number four. Korah focused on himself. Moses focused on the people. Korah focused on himself. Moses focused on the people. Korah focused on himself. Moses focused on the people. Right before number four, there's a powerful quote there. It says, some people are more preoccupied with being right than doing right. In other words, some people are so caught up in, I want to be right, versus I need to do the right thing. In other words, I have to win. I have to be first, even if I'm wrong. I'm not going to admit it. You don't want to be one of those people. Look at number four. Korah focused on himself. Moses focused on the people. Luke says in verse 19. Korah gathered all the congregation against them, Aaron and Moses, at the door of the tabernacle, a meeting. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation, 2 million people, against two. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourself from among the congregation that I may consume them in a moment. Let me rephrase that. Back up Jack so I can jack them up. That's what God said. 2 million people. Moses and Aaron. God said, Moses and Aaron, back up. Let me at them. They're going to be done. Ain't going to take long. Whack, they're gone. Now, if you were appointed by God to a very difficult job, and the people constantly ridiculed you, questioned you, blah, 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 blah. They didn't know what the heck they were talking about. God appointed you. And again, God has wanted to kill them. This is the third time now. Because of other things they did. Last week we saw that they didn't want to go into Promised Land. God said, let me kill them. Moses could have easily said, you know, God, I think you're right. These dudes been working my last nerve. And this is the third time. So let me just give me a minute to walk over here so you can go ahead and do your thing. Amen? Amen? I mean, I'm not trying to coach you to say amen. I'm asking, do you think that Moses should have, is justified to say that? Amen. Hey, you know what I'm saying? That's a manager of people right there. But you know Moses? Moses, and this is the sign of a spiritual leader versus a natural leader. Moses loved the people more than the people loved him. You have to love people more than they love you. What does the Bible say? Love your enemies, not only your friends. People can treat you, stab you in the back, talk about you, and you go back. This is so much fun. Dear God, give me love for them. Okay. And then dogging you out, and you sincerely, from God, you sincerely feel sorry for him, and you love him, you want to help him. Only God can do, God does that. But you have to ask for it, you have to be open to it. Now, you could reserve the right to go postal. Because we like tearing people down when we think they deserve it. Our flesh loves it, but our flesh must die. Look what Moses does. Moses, verse 22, fell on his face. Well, Aaron and Moses fell on their faces. Oh God, God of spirits, all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation? God, please don't kill him. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's my opinion. My opinion don't mean anything. I wonder if God really was going to kill him. I wonder if God was just seeing what Moses was going to do. Moses, can I kill him? Can I kill him? They dogged you out, didn't they? They're real bad people. Why don't I just wipe them out? What do you think, Mo? Are you that mad yet? Did they take you off really bad this time? I'm going to kill him. Wanting to see what Moses is going to do. Moses says, no, God, please don't kill him. He goes, Moses, that's exactly what I wanted you to say. Moses says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus said that when they were nailed to the cross. He said, Moses, good answer. Now, it don't end there. Look at number five. Korah's pride destroyed him, while Moses' humility brought him honor. Everyone say humility comes before honor. That's a verse in the Bible. You humble yourself before the Lord, he lifts you up. You puff yourself up before God, he brings you down. That's where faith comes in. We have a desire to want to make ourselves first. God does that. What you do is you make yourself holy. You make yourself obedient. You make yourself submissive to God. And then He will lift you up. That's the trick. This is hilarious to me. God is going to decide. You have to understand, people who walk with God have a very unique relationship. There are some people who have a very unique and special relationship with God. This relationship is available to all people. But sometimes God picks people for special things. But they have to nurture this special relationship with God. What do I mean by that? Is that there are some people who talk to God every day. God talks to them every day. They have a very close relationship. Why? Because the person puts in the time necessary. It's available to everybody. Those people, God shows himself strong on their behalf, the Bible says. He does miracles through them. Amazing thing. He blesses them. And other people don't get blessed because they don't put in the time in the relationship. When the people who don't put in the time in a relationship, in some form or fashion, get resentful or jealous of the other people and attack those other people, they are attacking a person that's really close to God. You do not want to talk about the boss's kid to the boss. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's just suicide. And so here's God saying, listen, I talked to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, the Bible says in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7. So you're going to come to me and tell me Moses is out of line? I know everything Moses does. I'm there, Moses. I appointed Moses. I blessed Moses. I anointed Moses. Now, who are you again? Korah? So Moses saying, God, what's up with this? He says, oh, just bring him over here. I'll take care of him. So Moses goes, okay, good. Come on, Korah, we're going over to God. You do not want to fight that person because you're fighting against God. Now, you need to be that person. You can be that person. God fights your battles. Well, how do you do that? Have a very intimate relationship with God. And number two, don't fight your battles. Let him fight them. Pray on those people. Pray for those people, I should say. Look what it says. This is hilarious. All the congregation's there, remember? Look what it says in verse 28. Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them by my own will. Fellas, I didn't put myself in this position, and I didn't make all these miracles. I didn't make all these rules. But here's how you're going to know. If these men die naturally like all men, and if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. Now, feel me on this. There's about this many people. I'm sorry to pick y'all out, but y'all aren't evil, but this many people. And there's all these people. And Moses is saying, check us out, y'all. These guys are coming against me. If they die old age, God didn't call me. But if God opens up the earth and swallows them up, then I'm God's man. Hold on to your chairs now, y'all over there. Look what it says. Verse 30. But if the Lord creates a new thing and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Woo, woo. Here's what he's saying in practicality. What goes around comes around. That's what he's saying. The penalty of sin is death. In my kingdom, unrighteousness don't win. Bad, good guys end up first in my kingdom. Evil gets repaid with death. The penalty of sin is death. What God is saying is that in the end, if they're wrong, they'll pay. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Wait till the end of the movie. You ever watch a movie and you just hate this person because they keep getting away with stuff in the movie? Well, you know, by 55 minutes, it's an hour movie. By 55 minutes in the movie, it's going to resolve itself. So just wait to the end of the movie. Same thing in life. If you walk with God and you're faithful with God, in the end, you'll be fine. Trust me, in heaven, you ain't going to remember anything about this life. You ain't remember what kind of house you had.
You know, did you live in a one bedroom or 10,000 on the beach? Or did you have your own jet? Or did you have to ride the bus or the trolley? You're not going to know any of that stuff. We're all going to be living large. Large. Look what it says in verse. This is hilarious. Everyone say hilarious. Now, you may not laugh, but I laugh. It don't matter if you laugh or not. Look what it says in verse 31. It came to pass as soon as he was finished speaking. As soon as the word stopped coming out of his mouth. As soon as the word stopped coming out of his mouth. All the ground split apart. The earth opened and swallowed them all up. Households, men, all the men were caught, and their goods. So they and all those who were with them went down alive into the pit of the earth over them, and they perished from the assembly of God. Keep reading. Then all the Israel who were around them fled at their cry. They said, "Lest the earth swallow us also." And fire came from the Lord and consumed them, the 250 men who were offering incense. Ooh. Moses. What did Moses have to do after that? None. Anybody else want to mess with me? If God fights your battles, you ain't got nothing to do. Hey, oh, you got a problem with me? Let's go pray about it. And by the way, let's go pray about it. And if I'm wrong, God will deal with me. You don't go to God arrogant like I can't be wrong. You go to God and say, you know, there was a pastor in Chicago, Bill Hybels. He has a church called Willow Creek. They have like 25,000 people, something like that. And he has a ministry called Willow Creek Association where they train churches. And he was at a conference and someone stood up in the audience and started calling the devil and saying he was leading people to hell, all this kind of stuff. And he stood there. And I think about this all the time. When I heard this, the guy stood up and said, "You're the devil. You're taking Christianity down, blah, 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 blah." And you know what he did? He listened. The guy sat down. He said, "Let's pray." He said, "Lord, if he's right, judge me, deal with me. But if he's wrong, deal with him." That was it. He don't ever have to say a word, because if God deals with him, it's between him and God will deal with him. If God will deal with him, no stress. Ain't that great? No stress. Oh, you don't like me? Let's pray. I'm sorry you don't like me. Have a nice life. Hopefully one day we can be friends. And you go home to someone who does like you. I mean, can we be honest with ourselves? Don't we all know that there's people who can't stand us? I mean, there's people that can't stand all of y'all. And people can't stand me. Hate us. And by the way, they don't even know you. They don't even know you. And they are consumed with tearing you down. They're the ones in torment. Don't let their dysfunction become your dysfunction. Moses said, "Let's go to God." Went to God, bring your censer. We're going to go to God tomorrow morning. Moses had a good night's sleep, prayed to the Lord. They come and says, "Okay, God, we ready?" "Yeah, Moses, you know, we talked last night. Let's do the drill." He says, "Okay, light your censer, put the fire in it." Whoosh. Okay. God, all y'all, if the earth don't split open, actually, the people with the fire was over here, and the Korah's family was over here. The earth split open, ate Korah. Fire from God came, burnt those people up. Everyone goes running crying, and Moses is like, "That's right. That's right." Here's your challenge. Very practical. I think your homework assignment, the end of your notes. I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about a relationship, a scenario in your life, a conflict you're having, a leadership position you have, someone in your department where you work, someone in your classroom, on your team, whatever it is that you are struggling with, and that you would step back and go, "You know what? I'm going to handle this in a spiritual way. I'm going to pray for these people. I'm going to pray for my heart. I'm going to pray that God would show me what to do. I'm going to give this whole thing over to God and ask God to show me his perspective." And if you sincerely do that, get a pen and paper out, write down what God tells you to do, you will see a huge burden lifted off your shoulder. And by the way, one of the ways God lifts our burdens is for us to accept the fact that we not only could be wrong, but that you can say you're wrong. If you could ever get in the habit of saying, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, you free yourself up. The problem is we don't want to say we're wrong, so we prove ourselves right at all costs. We become a natural leader. It's all about me. I can't be wrong. No, but if you could say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, let's do it this way. Let's do it your way, you're right. Done, let's go. You have so less stress. I'll give you this last little nugget. Someone once told me a long time, you don't make a big, deal about nothing, there won't be nothing. I have learned, and this has helped me so much, I hear really good news and really bad news almost daily. And what I've learned is I don't ever get real excited. I'm passionate about the bees and the plants. I'm passionate about a lot of stuff. I get excited about a lot of stuff. But someone say, we're going to do all this. And I go, but in deep down inside, I'm like, okay, we'll see. This tragedy happened. Okay, it's probably not that bad. And usually never is. Things aren't usually as bad as they say and not as good as they say. If you could just learn to be like this, nothing fazes you. And somebody says something to you or bad news comes to you, the best thing you can do is say absolutely nothing. Just let it hit you. And just, this is what happens. All the bad news and all the criticism do this. And then it'll do this. Fall to the ground. You sit there and go, I'm an idiot. I'm this, I'm that. Okay, okay. Okay. Don't do anything. And it may hurt you a little bit, but don't do anything. Think about it. Let time go by. God, what do you want me to do? None. Don't do nothing. Just pray for him. And you'll find that a lot of your stress goes away. Because a lot of times we make stress for ourselves. How are we going to fix it? You ain't going to fix it. You can't fix it. People hate you. They hate you. They're bent on hating you. And they may be justifying something you did. But maybe they're not. All you can do is what God calls you to do. So this week, one thing in your life where you say, you know what, I'm going to be more of a spiritual leader in this area or how I deal with this situation or how I deal with this situation and see if you can more emanate the love of God in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you that the Bible is about real people. People who made mistakes. People who they did the things we do. But then you have people in the Bible who rise above them. And I pray that we can take from Moses' example and that we could be a better spiritual leader in our life. I pray you would show us the situations and people in our lives that we need to apply this to. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say two things before you go. I really want to challenge you to apply this to your life. It will be a wasted sermon. Not only this sermon, but any sermon, is if all you do is hear it and feel good. And when I say wasted, maybe not 100%, but 90-something percent. You really, not only for you, but for me as well, for preparation and all this energy, we want to take these messages and apply it to our life. Don't let it go in here, in your heart, feel good, and then go. I really want to challenge you to look at one area in your life where you can apply this to and see what you can learn about yourself. Learn about yourself. I had an incident with a person once and I went to a counselor and said, how do I should handle this? And the person's first question was, someone did something to me. And I was wanting wisdom on how to deal with it properly. And the counselor said, the first thing you need to do is ask, what does this have to do with you? And what is this telling you about you? What is God trying to show you about you in this?
They're very insightful. In other words, are you mad because you're too good to have this happen to you? Or you don't feel, whatever it was. It was a very good question. And I want you to look at yourself and ask God to show you you and how you deal with people. And are you dealing with people from a position of, I am always right, I am this, I am that, it's all about me. Because if that's your position, you're never going to be satisfied. I was talking to a husband the other day. He was talking about his wife and problems with his wife. And he said, can we get together? I said, yeah, we can get together. But before we get together, I want you to go home today and ask your wife, how can I make your life easier? She's pregnant, you got kids. How can I make your life easier? And tell, and get a piece of paper, write it down, sit it down, wash her physical feet, do dinner for her, get her flowers and ask her how you can bless her. Do that for a week. Then tell me how your life is. You won't need to talk to me. And he's like, yeah, I think you're right. I go, yeah, I know I'm right. Now, but what the point was, is that he was coming home thinking it's all about me. That was the problem. Instead of coming home saying it's all about you. Difference between natural and spiritual. So I want to really challenge you to take this to heart. Number two, next week we're going to see Moses make a mistake. And he's going to get punished. Now you may think that's a contradiction. No, it's just reality. He's a man. But he still was the most humble man ever. One of the greatest leaders in the Bible. One of the main guys in the whole history of the world. But he was a human. So we're going to see that next week. And we'll see what God did. Because God is fair. He's more than fair. He's righteous. So let's sing, walk, leave, whatever you want to do. Amen. Amen.